Listening Library presents Love and War, an Alex and Eliza story by Melissa De La Cruz. Read for you by Cassandra Campbell. I am more and more unhappy and impatient under the hard necessity that keeps me from you, and yet the prospect lengthens as I advance. Though the period of our reunion in reality approaches, it seems further off. Among other causes of uneasiness, I dread lest you should imagine I yield too easily to the bars that keep us asunder. But if you have such an idea, you ought to banish it and reproach yourself with injustice. A spirit entering into bliss, heaven opening upon all its faculties, cannot long more ardently for the enjoyment than I do, my darling Betsy, to taste the heaven that awaits me in your bosom. Is my language too strong? It is a feeble picture of my feelings. No words can tell you how much I love and how much I long. You will only know it when, wrapped in each other's arms, we give and take those delicious caresses which love inspires and marriage sanctifies. Letter from Alexander Hamilton to Elizabeth Schuyler, October 1780. Part 1. Storming the Walls. Chapter 1. Spring Harvest. The Schuyler Mansion, Albany, New York, April 1781. Forget Paris. The French could keep their croissants and the Champs-Élysées. Who cares about London? Rome? Athens? From what she'd heard, they were just a bunch of ruins. And what of Williamsburg, Virginia? Charleston, South Carolina? New York City? As far as she was concerned, they could all fall off the map. In all the world, Elizabeth Schuyler Hamilton thought there was no place more beautiful than Albany at springtime. Of course, the pastures was dear to her as her childhood home, and even more so as the site of her wedding to Alexander Hamilton just last winter. Time had done little to dampen their affection, and she was more in love with her husband than ever. Perhaps it was this love that led to Eliza's delight at anything and everything around her. But rose-colored glasses or no, it was hard to claim there was anywhere more glorious than late April in her hometown. The air was warm and the sun was mellow. Bare trees had covered themselves in soft green foliage, and the sharp, tangy smell of fireplace smoke gave way to the softer aromas of hyacinths and crocuses, lilac and dogwood. Swallows darted through the air, snapping up flies and gnats, and newborn calves, foals, and shoats frolicked about the fields and sties. The mighty Hudson River was wreathed in mist at daybreak and teemed with fishermen's boats in the afternoon. Their nets hauled in plentiful catches of shad, whose roe had a delicate, almost nutty taste that paired perfectly with a salad of tender mustard greens. But best of all was the bounty of blueberries and strawberries. All over the estate, hundreds of bushes sagged beneath the weight of thousands upon thousands of red, burgundy, and purple fruit. Every morning for a week, Eliza and her sisters, Angelica, Peggy, and 5-year-old Cornelia, joined sometimes by their youngest brother, 8-year-old Rensselaer, known affectionately as Wren, traded in their sumptuous silks and bustles for simple, sturdy muslin skirts that they'd tie up high, showing ankles and calves in a bit of a risque manner, and join the housemaids in the fields to pick bucket after bucket of plump, sweet, juicy berries. Well, not Wren. Wren hadn't worn a skirt since his christening. By noon, their lips were as stained as their fingertips. After all, picking involved a fair bit of sampling, as Eliza put it, and the three oldest sisters repaired to the kitchen to do their work. Some of the fruit was packed in ice in the cellar, and some more was baked into pies, but most was simmered in rich, syrupy jellies, whose tart sweetness would liven up many a winter meal, slathered on fresh bread or griddle cakes or dabbed on turkey or mutton. A portion of the fruit was pickled, making for a delicious snack, salty at first before exploding in your mouth in a burst of sweetness. But as tempting as all these rich cooked treats were, Eliza's favorite way to eat them was also the simplest, fresh and chilled. Each plump fruit tasted like a thimble-sized dollop of liquid happiness. That early spring afternoon, standing in the dappled light by the stone counter, Eliza alternated between a basket of strawberries and a basket of blueberries, savoring them one at a time. "I can't decide which is more perfect," she exclaimed to her sisters, who were gathered around the long rustic table that ran down the center of the kitchen, sorting fruit.
"Black!"
Peggy Schuyler pouted with lips that were nearly as fruit-stained as Eliza's.
"If I ever see another strawberry or blueberry again, it will be too soon," she said, as she reached for yet another blueberry and popped it in her mouth.
"Peg's right," Angelica agreed. "Sometimes nature's bounty is too much. A week ago, I couldn't wait for the fruit to ripen. Now all I want are peanuts. What I wouldn't give for freshly roasted nuts right now."
But before the words had escaped her lips, she was already rolling a red strawberry between her fingers, letting it disappear into her mouth as well.
"With this war, we can't have peanuts till September anyway," said Eliza.
"Stephen says the war may be over before fall," said Peggy, referring to her fiancé, Stephen Van Rensselaer III.
"The American coastline is simply too long for even an army or navy as powerful as England's to cover, and with French forces now fully committed to the cause of our independence, King George's men will find themselves both outnumbered and outmaneuvered."
"It is hard to imagine this war being over," Eliza said. "I feel as though we have grown up with it. But I do hope he's right. Alex and I have been married for half a year already, but we have yet to establish a household."
Indeed, as much as Eliza loved the pastures, she was impatient to move out of her parents' house and into one with her husband. After their wedding, they'd only had a few blessed weeks together before he had to rush back to General Washington's headquarters. These days, Alex was chafing at their present living arrangements just as much as she was, and both were eager for more time on their own. Though she loved her husband dearly and knew he loved her, they had spent more time apart than together during the course of their brief romance and even briefer marriage. The flame that burned between them was bright, but they had yet to live alone as husband and wife. In many ways, Alex was still a stranger to her. Their lives were mediated by family and servants and soldiers, and as such, their private lives were not as private as they would have preferred. "At least you've been home now for a spell, although he was scheduled to leave again in a few days." Missing him was the lot of a soldier's wife, and instead of weeping and worrying, Eliza endeavored to be brave. Still, it was difficult, even in the midst of so much beauty, not to feel bereft. When Alex was gone, she felt his absence as a physical ache. She chided herself for being so selfish. While she was his wife, he was a man of the world, of the state, and she owed it to her country to share, didn't she? Her own parents had endured many long separations during their marriage. Even so, General and Mrs. Schuyler had at least had a few years to establish themselves and start their family before their first parting. Since Alex was leaving soon to report back to duty, festivities had been planned for later that evening. She didn't want to surmise how long he'd be gone, but hoped when he returned they would finally be able to settle down on their own.
"I am ready to live under my own roof," Eliza declared.
"Hear, hear," Angelica seconded. "I have been married a year longer than you, and my husband and I see less of each other than when we were courting. Tell me, do you know yet where he plans to make his residence?"
Eliza shook her head.
"It will probably be New York City, which is most conducive to a career in law. But if he is lured into politics, we may well end up in Philadelphia, or perhaps someplace farther south, if all this talk of creating a capital in the midpoint of the country comes to pass."
"Ah!"
The sisters' conversation was interrupted by a low moan from a corner of the kitchen, where Cornelia was sprawled across a stack of burlap bags filled.
Sample complete. Ready to continue?